Welcome to Zichru Dafsi Mani. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Maseches Erevin, Daf Yud Ches. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, the opening mission of the second parak taught, Osim Pasim Beiros. We may erect boards for wells to permit drawing water from them on Shabbos. Wells are Rishus Yachin, and therefore one cannot draw water from them into Rishus Rabbim. However, the Rabbanan enacted a unique leniency that would permit people who are traveling up to Yerushalayim for the Regalim to draw water from wells on Shabbos. By erecting boards around a well, the area within the boards had to be considered a Rishus Yachid, which would allow the drawing of water into it. The Gemara initially suggests that the Mishnah, which specifies the leniency to be applied to wells, Be'eros, does not go according to Rabbi Kiva, who holds that Pasim can also be used for Boros HaRabim, public water holes, but not for a Bor Yachid, not for an individual water hole. The Gemara concludes that the Mishnah also permits Pasim around Boros HaRabim. However, the Mishnah only wanted to teach the case of wells because Ber Maim Chaim de Psikalei, the law for the case of a well, which has spring water, is clear-cut, meaning it makes no difference whether the well is public or private. The Mishnah didn't want to teach the law of boros, which differs between public and private ones, since in the case of a public water hole, people remind each other not to carry if it dries up, whereas an individual might not remember. Point number two, when the Mishnah stated we may erect boards for wells to permit drawing water from them on Shabbos, it says to use diyumdin. The Gemara asks, what are diyumdin? And Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar said, diyumdin means double post. The prefix dio means two, and it's attached to the word amud, which means post. He also teaches, dio parts of panim hayol Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon was created with two faces, as it says in the pasuk, achor bekerem tzartani, from the front and back you have formed me. The Gemara continues the Malchokas regarding the creation of Chava, which we learn in Brachas Daf Samachal. And point number three, six of eight teachings of Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar are taught on this daf. Among them is, Miksa Shivcho Sha'adam Omrim Bafanav, part of a person's praise one may mention in his presence, Vakulo Shalom Bafanav, but all of it only in his absence. This is learned from the parsha of Noach, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu praised Noach partially when he spoke to him directly, as it says, Ki Oscha Re'isi Tzadig Lafanav Bedor Hazeh, for it is you I have seen to be righteous before me in this generation, whereas in Noach's absence he said, Noach Ish Tzadig Tamim Haya Bedor Hasav. Noach was a righteous man, perfect in his generation. So once again, the three topics are number one, on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, the opening mission of the second parak taught, Osim Pasim Beiros. We may erect boards for wells to permit drawing from them on Shabbos. Wells are Rishus Yachid, and therefore one cannot draw water from them into Rishus Arabim. However, the Rabbanan enacted a unique leniency that would permit people who were traveling up to Yerushalayim for the Regalim to draw water from wells on Shabbos. By erecting boards around a well, the area within the boards that he be considered Rishus Yachid, thereby allowing people to draw water from it. The Gemara initially suggests that the Mishnah, which specifies the leniency to be applied to wells, to Be'eros, does not go according to Rabbi Kiva, who holds that Pasim can also be used for Boros HaRabim, public water holes, but not for a Bor HaYachid, not for an individual water hole. The Gemara concludes that the Mishnah also permits Pasim around Boros HaRabim. However, the Mishnah only wanted to teach the case of wells because Ber Maim Chaim de Psikalei, the law for the case of a well, which is spring water, is clear-cut, meaning it makes no difference whether the well is public or private. The Mishnah didn't want to teach the law of boros, which differs between public and private ones, since in the case of a public water hole, people will remind each other not to carry if it dries up, whereas an individual might not remember. Point number two, when the Mishnah stated we may erect boards for wells to permit drawing water from them on Shabbos, it says to use diyumdin. The Gemara asks, what are diyumdin? Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar said, diyumdin means double post. The prefix dio means two, and it's attached to the word amud, which means post. He also teaches, dio parts of panim hayola Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon was created with two faces, as it says in the pasuk, achor v'kerem tzartani, from the front and back you have formed me. The Gemara continues with the machlokas regarding the creation of Chava, which we learn in Brachas Daf Samach Aleph. And point number three, six of eight teachings of Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar are taught on this daf. Among them is Miksa Shivcho Sha'adim Omri Bafanav, part of a person's praise one may mention in his presence, Vakulo Shul Bafanav, but all of it only in his absence. This is learned from the Parsha of Noach, where Kodesh Baruch Hu praised Noach partially when he spoke to him directly, as it says, Ki Oscha Re'isi Tzadik Lafanav Bedor Hazeh, for it is you I have seen to be righteous before me in this generation, whereas in Noach's absence, Noach Ish Tzadik Tamim Haya Bedor Hasav. Noach was a righteous man, perfect in his generation. All right, so now we go to our simon for Yud Ches, and the simon for Yud Ches is a chuppah, because Ben Yud Ches Lo Chuppah, an 18-year-old goes to the chuppah. So here goes. The chuppah built on a platform over the public water hole, surrounded by double posts, featured the two faces of the chassan and kol embroidered on it, along with psukim that partially praised them. Once again, in slow motion. The chuppah, that must mean we're on Daf Yud Ches. The chuppah built on a platform over public waterholes surrounded by double posts, which reminds us that the leniency to erect pasim and beros to permit those going up to the regel to carry within not only applies to wells, but also to public boros, to public waterholes, as Rabbi Akiva states. But the Mishnah didn't want to teach it because the law for beros is clear-cut and applies to both individuals and the public, whereas boros, waterholes, only applies to the public because we assume people remind each other not to carry if the waterhole dries up, whereas an individual might not remember. So the chuppah built on a platform over the public waterhole, surrounded by double posts, featured the two faces of the chasen and kala embroidered on it, which reminds us that the word diyumdi means double post, and it's formed from a contraction of the words dio, which means two, and amudim, which means post. We also learn that Adam was created with dio partsufim, two faces, and the Gemara continues the Machlokas about the creation of Chava. So the chuppah built on a platform over the public waterhole, surrounded by double posts, featured the two faces of the chasen and kala embroidered on it, along with psukim that partially praise them. Which reminds that one of Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar's eight teachings is, Mixa shivcho shel adam, omri mufanav, v'kulo shel mufanav. Part of a person's praise can be said in front of him, and all of it can be said in his absence, which we learn from how Kodesh Baruch Hu praised Noach. So once again, the chuppah built on a platform over the public waterhole, surrounded by double posts, featured the two faces of the chasen and kala embroidered on it, along with psukim that partially praised them. All right, now it's time for a four-blot back chazorah. Daf Yadal. So the symbol for Daf Yadal is hands, and we're going to use a juggler because he has very skilled hands. So here goes. The juggler. Juggler, that must mean we're on Daf Yadalad. The juggler is doing great juggling torches over two twin korahs, which reminds us. The Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis stated that a korah must be wide enough to hold an ariach, a half brick. An ariach is 1.5 tefachim, which means that it's sufficient for the korah to be 1 tefach in width. In a brayso on this daf, it was taught, if one placed two twin korahs over an entrance, and each one alone was not wide enough to hold the ariach, but together they could, since combined they're a tefach wide, no other korah is necessary. If their combined width was not a tefach, they're invalid and another korah must be used. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that if two korahs can be positioned to hold an ariach lengthwise so that the distance between their outer edges measures 3 tefachim, it's not necessary to bring another korah, even though their combined width does not equal a tefach. So the juggler was doing great juggling torches over two twin korahs until he missed and they fell into a 10 amos in diameter tub of water, which reminds that the Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel Beis also stated that if the korah was round and therefore incapable of holding an ariach, we view it as if it was square, meaning as if it was planed down to a flat surface. The way to know if the circular korah is a tefach wide is by following the rule that kol sheyesh be'hekefo shlosha tefachim yesh bo rochav tefach. Whatever round object has a circumference of 3 tefachim has a width of a tefach. The Gemara teaches that the source for this principle is learned from the Yamshel Shlomo, which Shlomo Melch made in the base of Migdash of the Kohanim to use for a tevila. It was 10 amos in diameter and 30 amos in circumference. Rav Chiya taught that it could hold enough water for 150 mikvos. So the juggler is doing great juggling torches over two twin korahs until he missed and they fell into a 10 amos in diameter tub of water next to the lechi in the middle of the mavui. Which reminds us, a braisa taught, Asa lechi lechetzi mavui, ein lo el lechetzi mavui. If one made a lechi for half a mavui, so the lechi stands in the middle of the side wall instead of the front, he can only carry the mavui half that was adjusted. After questioning why the braisa needed to teach the seemingly obvious point, the Gemara answered that one might have thought that it should be prohibited to carry even in the adjusted half, out of concern that someone will think that it's permitted to carry in the entire mavui. Daf Tezvav. So the symbol for Tezvav is a fruit bowl. So here goes. The strange scene of a fruit bowl, that must be more on Daf Tezvav. The strange scene of a fruit bowl under a tree that served as a lechi, which reminds us that there's a Malkokas and Marmar regarding lechi omed me'ilav, a lechi that happens to be positioned properly at the side of a mavui, but was not originally placed there to adjust the mavui, such as a tree. Abai said it's valid, and Rava says it's not. The Gemara clarifies that everybody agrees that it's not a valid lechi when they didn't intend to use it as a lechi Erev Shabbos, as they were planning on using another lechi that subsequently fell. The Malchokas is in the case where they intended Erev Shabbos to use it as a lechi. After determining through a number of proofs that Abai and Rav agree that a mechitza that was not originally erected as a mechitza is valid, the Gemara concludes that Abai says the lechi is valid because he holds a lechi serves as a mechitza. And Rava says it's invalid because he holds a lechi serves as a hecker, and it will only serve as a reminder if it was originally erected as a lechi. So the strange scene of a fruit bowl under a tree that served as a lechi next to a cow with a get written on it that was also being used as a lechi, which reminds us the next Mishnah introduces a number of machokasim regarding using living things for lechis, tomb covers, and gittin. Regarding gittin, the Tanakhama holds, Kosun alav gittin nashim, one may write a get on living things, Rav Yossi Agali poso, and Rav Yossi Aglili invalidates such a get. Now the Gemara explains that both the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi Aglili derive the halacha from the same pasuk, v'kasav la sefer krisos, and he shall write for her a bill of divorce. Rav Yossi Aglili learns from v'kasav la that one may write it on any type of writing surface, not just parchment, whereas sefer teaches that it must be written on something similar to a sefer, not food or living things. The Rabbanan learned that v'kasav la means she cannot be divorced with money, and sefer teaches l'sfiras dvarim ba'amuhudasa that it should be a narration of words that convey that he's divorcing her. So the strange scene of a fruit bowl under a tree that served as a lechi, next to a cow with a get written on it that was also being used as a lechi, caught the attention of a caravan passing by on their way to their encampment. Which reminds, the next mission teaches that if a shayar shachansa babika, a caravan encamped in an area of open fields, which is considered a karmelis, that surrounded itself with animal trappings, such as saddles and saddlebags to serve as partitions, one may carry within it, provided that she had gadar gavoa asar tfachim. The partition must be 10 tfachim high. The total gap should not be more than the total walls. And kol pirtzus shikaser amos mutaris mifnei shikah pesach. An opening of 10 amos is considered a doorway and they can carry there. More than 10 amos is considered a pirtza, a breach, and carrying would be forbidden. Daf tezayin. So the simfer tezayin is toes. So here goes. The lone camper, after measuring three different size mechitzos with his toes, that must be more on daf tezayin. The lone camper, after measuring three different size mechitzos with his toes, which reminds us on daf tez vavam and beis, a machlokas introduced regarding parts ka'omet, if the gaps in a partition equal the wall portion. Rav Papa says it is mutter to carry in the area enclosed by such partitions, whereas Rav Huna, braid Rav Yeshua, says it is forbidden. As part of the Gemara's analysis to determine who the halakha goes according to, in our daf, a brisa regarding kolayim is brought that presents shosh midas b'mechitzos, three categories of partitions that permit planting something next to another planting, which would be kolayim when planted next to each other without a partition. So category number one, whenever the solid sections are less than three tefachim, it's necessary that the gap in between the sections should not be three tefachim wide, kadesh v'yistakir gedi b'basrosh, so that a kid goat cannot leap headlong through the partition, which would cancel lavud from working. The gap, though, can be wider than the solid portions. Category number two, when the solid portions are between 3 and 4 tefachim, the gaps cannot be as wide as the sections themselves. And if the gaps are even wider than the solid portions, then it is prohibited to plant even opposite the wall portions. And category number three, when the solid portions are between 4 tefachim and 10 amos, the gap cannot be as wide as the solid portions. If it is, then it's permitted to plant opposite the solid portions, but prohibited to plant opposite the gaps. Rashi explains that a walled section that is 4 tefachim wide is considered to be independently significant. So the lone camper, after measuring three different sized mechitzas with his toes, decided to use ropes and poles instead to enclose his encampment, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that a caravan may surround its encampment with three horizontal ropes, one above the other, provided there is not a gap between the ropes of three tefachim for the purpose of lavud to take effect, and that the total thickness of the ropes is more than one tefach, so that the height of the mechitza is at least 10 tefachim. It's also permitted to surround the caravan with vertical poles, provided that the gaps between the poles do not exceed three tefachim in order for lavud to take effect. So the lone camper, after measuring three different sized mechitzas with his toes, decided to use ropes and poles instead to enclose his encampment. That was not greater than two beisal, which reminds us, the Gemara notes a contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah, who said that the inferior partitions of ropes and poles are only permitted for caravans, but not for individuals, and a brice where Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol mechitza shabbos lo hitiru yachid yosem beis asayim. The Chachamim did not permit these inferior shabbos partitions for individuals in an area that encloses more than two beisal. This implies that these partitions are permitted to individuals if it is two beisal. The Gemara concludes that Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah was forbidding these partitions for individuals only if the enclosed area was greater than two beisah. Daf Yud Zayin. So the Simfer Yud Zayin is a used car, and we're using a used car salesman. So here goes. For the first time in his life, the used car salesman felt wanted. Used car salesman? That must mean we're on Daf Yud Zayin. For the first time in his life, the used car salesman felt wanted when he was welcomed by two guys in a roped-off enclosure who needed help bearing a soldier who suddenly died. Which reminds us that there's a machlokes between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yitzchak regarding the status of an inferior enclosure when the number of occupants changes during Shabbos, such as in the case of Shlosha Umeis Echa Mehen, three people occupied the enclosure and then one died, or Shnaim Mitosu Alen, two people occupied an enclosure of more than two Beisal, which is forbidden to them, and then one person joined them. One holds Shabbos Goremes. Shabbos causes the validity or the invalidity of the partition, meaning that the status remains the same as it was at the start of Shabbos. The other one holds that Diyon Gormin, the current number of residents, causes the validity or the invalidity of the partition. The Gemara concludes that it is Rav Huna who holds that Shabbos Goremes, based on a case where two Chatzeros were joined in an Erev via their entrance and the entrance became sealed on Shabbos, and a case where they were joined through a window and the window became sealed on Shabbos, about which Rav Huna ruled Shabbos Hoyel V'Hutra Hutra. Once carrying on Shabbos was permitted, it remains permitted. So for the first time in his life, the used car salesman felt wanted when he was welcomed by two guys in a roped-off enclosure who needed help bearing a soldier who suddenly died, which reminds us, it was stated in the Brisa that Rabbi Yehuda ben Tamar ruled regarding soldiers, Makom she'naragim sham nikbarim, in the place that they are killed, they're buried. The Gemara asks why it's necessary to teach this, since it's obvious, given that they are a mace mitzvah kona makomo. An unattended corpse acquires the site where he dies. And the Gemara answers that the fallen soldier acquires the site where he dies, even if he has relatives to attend to his burial. The Gemara brings a brisa that asks, Ezehu mace mitzvah, which dead person qualifies as a mace mitzvah, that anyone present is obligated to bury him. The Gemara answers, Kol she'ein lo kofrim, whoever has no barriers, meaning any relatives to attend to his burial needs. If he would call for help and the heirs would answer to attend to the burial, he's not considered a meis mitzvah. So for the first time in his life, the used car salesman felt wanted when he was welcomed by two guys in a roped off enclosure who needed help bearing a soldier who suddenly died after blinding himself with salt from his unwashed hands. Which reminds the Mishnah say that soldiers are exempt from the obligation of washing their hands before a meal. Abai said, Loshanu el maim rishonim. The Mishnah only taught they're exempt from washing before the meal, of amaim achronim chova. However, the washing after the meal is obligatory, even for soldiers. Rav Chiya bar Ashi said the reason that maim achronim is a chiyuv is b'nei shemelchus d'dom is yesh shemesames einayim, because there's a salt from stone that blinds the eyes. Washing ensures that one doesn't have any salt on his fingers from the food that he ate that could possibly harm him. Rav Acha, the son of Rava, asked Rav Ashi if the law of maim achronim also applies to one who measures salt, or is it only pertinent to eating a meal? Rav Ashi answered that it's no question that one who measures salt should also wash his hands. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions on Maseches Brachos and Shabbos. Number 1, which daf do we have Machlokes regarding a lechi ha'omed me'elav, such as a tree, and whether it can be used as a lechi? That's on daf Tezvav. Good. Number 2, which daf do we learn that the leniency of passing the biros can also be used for boros ha'rabim, public water holes? That's on daf Yudches. Good. Number 3. Which daf do you learn the Shalosh Midos b'Mechitzos, the three categories of Mechitzos? That's on daf Tezayin. Good. Number 4. Which daf do you learn that Diyumdim means double post and that Adam Rishon had Dio Partsufim, two faces? That's on daf Yudches. Good. Number 5. Which daf do you learn whether one be chayv if they threw an object into a Mavi Mufulash that had a Korah? That's on daf Yidbeis. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do you learn that one can carry in the half of a mavri that was adjusted with a lechi? That's on daf Yidalad. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do you learn that caravans can use horizontal ropes or vertical poles to create mechitzos? That's on daf Tezayin. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do you learn my machronim is a chova because of Melch's Adomis? That's on daf Yidzayin. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we have a malkuk is whether one can write a get on a living thing? That's on daf Tezbav. Good. And final question number 10. Which daf do we learn that soldiers are buried where they are killed? And we also learn the definition of a mace mitzvah. That's on daf Yudzayin. Good. Now we go to the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which daf do we learn about Darche Amori? That's on daf Samach Zayin and Shabbos. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn when to bow during the Shemoneh Esrei? That's on daf Amidalad and Brachas. Good. And finally, question number 3. Which stuff do you learn what the Bracha is for a Keshes, for a rainbow? That's on daf Nuntas and Brachas. Excellent. All right. That concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Golden Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.